Leviticus chapter 20. This is about the sin of Moloch worship. You shall tell the children of Israel, any one of the children of Israel or of the strangers who live as foreigners in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I also will set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his descendants to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land all hide their eyes from that person when he gives of his seed to Moloch and don't put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off. And all who play the prostitute after him to play the prostitute with Moloch from among their people. Well, we're told in Amos, and Stephen quotes it in the New Testament, that the people of Israel carried the tabernacle of Moloch with them through the wilderness, as well as the tabernacle of Yahweh. And it would be very surprising to me if they carried the tabernacle of Moloch and didn't sacrifice to Moloch as they supposed Moloch required, which was with the human sacrifice of their children. God was extremely and specifically against this. And in another place, it says, because you bore your children unto me, therefore do not sacrifice them to Moloch. So when we have children, they are our children, but they are also God's children. And when you think about getting married, you need to get married to someone who's got that same view. Now, how can we give our children to Moloch? You may think, well, of course, we wouldn't do that. But by letting your children go into the ways of the world, that is what you're doing. Of course, you cannot force anybody, including your children, to get to God's kingdom. All you can do is to place them on the path that will lead to that kingdom if they continue in that path. It can't be that someone ultimately gets to the kingdom of God because they had a good mum and dad. That can't be the case. But on the other hand, God does hold parents very responsible for how they treat their children. The person that turns to those who are mediums and to the wizards to play the prostitute after them, I will even set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. In other words, trying to say you believe in God, but you also want help, as you see it, from people who are supposedly in contact with powers outside of God's control. Well, we may not be interested in those magicians and wizards in a literal sense, but you can see how relevant that is, in that we can easily have the impression that God only controls some things in our lives, and that he's of limited power, and I want to get help from something else. It's like saying, yeah, I believe in God and I go to church and I do my thing, but I believe that the real path to success in life is not trusting in God. It's from building up a career or a business. That's the way to go. It's the same basic mistake. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am Yahweh your God. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, even he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They've committed a perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male, as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man takes a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burned with fire, both he and they, that there may be no wickedness among you. If a man lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. We are to have dominion over the beasts, over, that's what Adam and Eve were told, and of course they failed in that, in that they didn't have dominion over the serpent. And you shall kill the animal. Now, it's easy to think, as people like to tell us today, this was just God in the Old Testament. and the law of Moses is now finished. Well, yes, the law of Moses is finished in that sense, but I think that the basic moral principles of God remain. When he says that this or that is a perversion, it is an abomination, that reflects his basic moral position. And I don't think that he had one position on these things right up until Jesus died on the cross. And the minute Jesus died, then suddenly he changed and suddenly all this stuff was not an issue and was all okay. No, his moral principles don't change in that sense. And what he considers to be abominable and perverted remains so. Quite clearly, God created Adam and Eve. He created one man and one woman and instituted marriage between man and woman as the way that he wished family life to be conducted. And it's no good saying, oh yeah, well, God thought one thing, but when Jesus died on the cross, it all changed. I don't think that is at all what happened. Jesus fulfilled the law in his own character. The whole intention of the law was to bring forth a character of perfection like was seen in Jesus. And so that happened. Now, we can't, or we haven't done that. Nobody else had that success, as it were, spiritually in keeping God's law as happened with Jesus. And so, therefore, realizing that, our basis of salvation is not through keeping the law, that this law of Moses in that sense doesn't now exist. And if you do those things that are condemned here, well, there is forgiveness through Jesus, the one who did keep God's law. But that is not to say that God's basic moral principles suddenly changed the moment Jesus died on the cross. And he goes on to talk about all sorts of other various kinds of perversion to do with sleeping with close relatives and that. And then he says, you shall keep my statutes and my ordinances, that the land where I'm bringing you to dwell doesn't vomit you out. You shall not walk in the customs of the nation which I'm casting out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I hated them. So therefore, we are not to have the principles which are practiced in the world around us when it comes to sexual matters, but we are to follow what God says and to follow his laws and his ways, even though, as he foresees here, they will be at variance with the principles and the ideas and the standards of the world around us. I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am Yahweh your God, who has separated you from the peoples. It was because they did these things that they were cast out of the kingdom, and the kingdom was given to Israel. And the fact that they unfortunately did all these things meant that they too, in due course, after a lot of patience from God, were also cast out of the land. See, I'm Yahweh your God who has separated you from the peoples. So we are called, therefore, to go his way, to live by his principles and not by those of the world around us, especially in this area of attitudes to sex and relationships.